My guests today are the Northern Two. We're going to start by listening to a track from a CD they brought in, and then we're going to get into some live stuff. We got computers, keyboards, vocals. It's going to be a good show, so stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Northern Two. How's it going, guys?
Hey, how you doing, John?
How you doing, man?
So let's just start with some basics, some introductions. Just tell me who you are and what you play.
My name is Seth Eubanks, and I play the keyboards in the band. So.
And I'm Andrew Sax. I play a little bit of guitar, and I play the laptop, and I control it with like a keyboard and some stuff. So,
now was there one person who started this act, or did you guys sort of at the same time decide, hey, let's collaborate on something?
We had another band called Sway, where we both played in. It was like a shoegaze kind of dream pop band. And when that kind of, I don't want to say fell apart, but when we stopped playing together,
crashed and burned.
Crashed. Well, we went out on a good note, I think, as far as you know, doing the best we could. But and then as soon as that was done, we kind of, I think Seth and I wanted to find a way to just keep doing music and make it as easy and as, you know, hassle-free as possible. Hassle might be a strong word again. I'm big on strong words, but
well, so if you're doing kind of like a shoegaze dream pop act before, but this is much different from that style. How did you kind of evolve into this? Did you guys both have an interest in electronic music beforehand? And
yeah, I think we took the best parts of Sway and what we were doing, and we kind of just meld them over to what Andy was thinking in his head. He's always had. I always used to play drums in Sway, and Andy would always have these crazy drum beats that he'd want me to play, and he'd always come up with these just these weird drum beats to the music that he was doing.
Seth always handled it fine,
and so uh-huh. I think we just kind of took the best parts of Sway, the shoegaze and stuff, and kind of added it to what Andy's and my mind, our new vision of just kind of the Northern Two of what we wanted to do. So,
well, let's jump into a live song, and then we'll talk about the whole process.
Okay.
What are you gonna play for us first?
It's gonna be a song called "Waste Another Breath." It's on our album. So,
okay. Before we get started, just give me a quick rundown, just for our audience's sake, what we're looking at in the tiny Kill Radio studio today. What have you guys set up for
us? A whole bunch of mayhem.
I run two keyboards, two Roland keyboards.
Serial numbers.
Serial numbers. Everything I have is kind of just Roland. So.
Seth's straight up Roland. I'm rocking the Mac Attack, and I got a little submixer that I use to drop in and out some prearranged MIDI stuff, and a MIDI controller keyboard, and then I rock the guitar, Git Fiddle.
All right. And you have an accordion, and you're also going to play the spoons?
Going to do a little bit of spoons. Saxophone is going to be thrown in, so we're going to mix it up a little bit.
Awesome. All right, whenever you guys are ready, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Okay, let's do this. Thank you.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Northern Two. Great start, guys.
Thanks, man.
Hey, all right, so let's get down to this.
Let's do this.
Let's do this thing. So what usually starts for you guys with a song? Like, what is the first thing that comes up? Is it a beat? Is it a melody? Or a lyric? Is it lyrics? What's going on?
What do you do, Seth? I mean, I pretty much start off like an acoustic guitar and just kind of mess around, come with like a basic, I don't know, rock song or pop song, you know, as full as I can. Usually not lyrics, just kind of like a backbone. And then I'll go, and without having that as like the background or anything, and just basically create stuff electronically. I use like Reason and Logic.
Reason's great.
Reason's freaking awesome. So I'll use those programs and basically come up an alternate backbone and then kind of meld them together like Dr. Octopus when he puts that spider thing on his back in Spider-Man. It's, yeah, I usually wince like that, you know. So, but that's kind of how it works. And then Seth is Seth. He's like an amazing piano player. So he just kind of comes in. I throw crap at him and he says, no. So then he makes it sound good. So they
generally start as sort of pop rock songs, and then you modify them and evolve them into these electronic synth pop songs. And then Seth, you sort of take what Andrew's done and apply what you think would be the right piano accompaniment to that?
Yeah, that's usually what happens is I will, or even if I write a song, I'll bring a song to Andy, and then Andy and his genius will start to mess with it and totally arrange it is what happens.
So you guys kind of take turns on like who starts the song?
Pretty much. Like we both kind of come up with stuff. The stuff that Seth comes up with is like really beautiful. And my stuff is like a slapstick cartoon soundtrack or like the alternate Sonic the Hedgehog soundtrack. So you can kind of tell like who mastered what.
Does that kind of come from your early influences, like in terms of like the music that you listened to growing up? Like how did you get involved in playing music?
I got just growing up listening to music and stuff like that and art in general. I guess just being a part of art and stuff and having that influence on my life and stuff and just music and the stuff that I wanted to do that comes out from that. So
80s movie soundtracks.
Yeah, 80 movie. Yeah.
What was it? Was the keys? Was that the first instrument that you were drawn to?
Actually, well, I used to like play saxophone and like drums and stuff. Like I played drums for Sway and stuff, but I just have always just been intrigued by everything kind of musically. So yeah.
I've always been intrigued by the fact that Seth can play like any instrument. Uh-huh. If you give him like a couple hours, he'll give you like whatever you need. So it's pretty cool to like play with a guy like that.
What came for you first? Was it the guitar or was it singing?
Actually, I played saxophone too, believe it or not. So we're both like ex-sax players.
We still have sax occasionally.
We started
that
out
became
like
a rock band and ended up as a synth act.
More or less. But you know, we're musicians for life. So it like started. We're like ex band geeks like in mm-hmm. middle school and stuff. And then the love for music, obviously, like when you get into high school and stuff, obviously you have to have a band. So that was, you know, how that kind of stuff evolved.
And when did you discover programming as, you know, the computer as a musical instrument?
Probably about 1997 or 8, started messing around with Fruity Loops program and kind of used it to pepper in little drum beats and stuff for our previous band that more or less ended up sounding like real drums mm-hmm. because it's just you kind of gravitate towards what you think people won't wince at, and I never was really had the balls to just kind of strap it on and drop some beats but totally experimenting for years now and always wanted to do something like this. Wanted to get a groove box or something, and not from the previous band but bandmates in general from other bands we've had have always been like, well, that doesn't make sense, but whatever, you know what I mean? It just never happened until me and Seth, so.
Well, you know, as a musician, you know, growing up playing traditional instruments and now doing, you know, programming beats and everything, what was that process like for you? Sort of like, you know, it's a completely different way of making music. Was it something you had to work on? Did it come to you naturally?
It's like the most beautiful thing ever for working because you can just do like whatever the hell you want. You don't have to like there's no restrictions, basically. The only restrictions are time and what you can come up with and, like, you know, what's on TV. You know what I mean? Because that'll distract you, or, you know, whatever distracts you. But the thing is, it's just the hardest thing to deal with is the fact that when you go out, you're usually used to playing a show with a full band, you know, the four or five piece, you know, dude rock on the mic and guy on the drums and everything. And with this kind of setup, you don't have that. So you feel kind of self-conscious at times that mm-hmm. people think you're Milli Vanilli up mm-hmm. there. But the fact of the matter is...
they don't understand the work that went into it before you brought it
yeah.
to the stage.
A lot of bands practice three times a week for a couple hours a day and then, you know, go drink. Like, with this kind of stuff, it's like an hours and hours and hours coming up with stuff, honing it, messing with it, fine-tuning it, and then leaving it alone. So it's yeah. a lot of work.
So with all the work you put into it, you deserve not to have to recreate it every time.
Sure. But then, see, we do try to make it... we leave everything, like for our live performance, we leave everything in MIDI. So we're actually floating live MIDI sequences that are going. So mm-hmm. if we need to, we can adjust anything. It's really scary when we do so. We improvise, you know, on some songs. But if we need to, we can change whatever it needs to be. Most times when we do that, people are like, oh, I wanted to hear the song. You know, so yeah. it's like, okay, well, I won't really remix it too much for you. But
let's listen to another track from the CD you brought in. What do you recommend?
Let's listen to, shoot, how about Someday? I think it's, number 6. And, this is it's a mellow song. Kind of got a cool little beat to it, so.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Northern Two. Stick around. now we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the Northern Two. Let's talk a little bit about electronic music in the modern arena. There's been a lot of phases that electronic music has gone through, and usually when you use terms like synth pop, it brings to mind the early 90s, the late 80s, early 90s,
yeah.
You know, Depeche Mode, Pet Shop Boys, Erasure, things like that, and then it kind of faded away into obscurity, you know, when things like grunge and alt rock became more popular, and then club music became the big thing, and now we were talking this a little bit before the show about when artists like Postal Service are finding an audience, and so it's like it's a good time to be doing a synth pop band, sort of bringing back some of those old influences.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of homegrown electronic music now because of the availability of programs that people are able to use right on their computers and stuff.
So the technology's caught up with the average
technology
Joe, huh?
Is at a level where average Joe, you know, music maker can go out, you know, and that's kind of obviously what we are, is go out, buy some stuff, you know, as much as they can afford and just go crazy. So that kind of music, people using the same equipment come up with drastically different sounds, and it's just kind of interesting to see that, like, a whole new, it's maybe not new, but it kind of is in the respect that it's like the home, like the bedroom recordings, mm-hmm. electronica is becoming big now, and you can hear it on the radio, influences and everything, like Linkin Park, you hear stuff where they, you know, drop beats, you know, and it's just like little clicks and glitches and things that were all underground, you know, 10 years ago. Now it's more in the mainstream, you know what I mean? So, anybody.
What are some things that, you know, as a band, as the Northern Two, that you want to avoid doing, you know, like trends that you don't want to end up following or directions you don't want to end up going into that might be easy for you to go into but might result in losing, you know, your unique sound?
I'm not too sure about that one because, like Andy was saying, with the freedom that we have, it's kind of like, it's almost like you're just kind of controlling the beast in a sense of kind of like, okay, we can't do too much. You know what I mean? But
so you don't want to limit yourself then?
You don't want to limit yourself, and you want to just kind of keep seeing what happens with it also, you know? It's really new to us and stuff. So I think we can just keep, if we just keep pushing and kind of keeping the ideas of what we want, I think it can evolve kind of into anything. So
I don't really think that we want to. I don't know, Seth. Like, what you think? But
yeah.
I think we've talked about we don't want to become part of the hair band electronica scene.
That's true.
If there's one of those that's actually coming.
Glamtronica.
Glamtronica. That's something that's just kind of pukadelic. I don't know if we can make up a few more words here, but like the whole like glamtronica thing. I don't know, like the whole L.A. Hollywood electronic punk scene
mm-hmm.
is kind of done, and that's why
the kind of stuff you hear in like beer commercials and
kind of like and just stuff that's just way too hip to be listened to, you know what I mean? I think we kind of gravitate more towards stuff that just sounds a little more bedroomy, just what? Pop music with like, it's really heavily glitch influenced. I mean, like the glitch influence, like Japanese glitch, you know, European glitch stuff, just destroyed tape, you know, destroyed digital circuitry, circuit bending. These are all things that, you know, we use and sample from and you know, twist to our for our liking, you know what I mean? Those are the things that we like. They're not so much like big synths, even though I'm staring at Seth's too, like Juno's. Like big synth music and everything is cool and it has its place, but there's a lot of stuff that's been done. Don't get me wrong, like I don't think we're saying that we're totally original in any way. It's all been done. But like that kind of stuff is just kind of maybe overdone.
Just leaves you with a bad taste.
In
huh?
our opinion, yeah.
Where,
I don't know.
Where do you imagine your audience listening to your music? I mean, do you think of yourselves as a dance act, or you mentioned sort of bedroom music. You picture someone, you know, listening to the Northern Two CD, you know, on headphones on their own while they're painting something or in the car or at the club dancing.
Probably straight up as like rolling with the credits at the end of the movie. I know that sounds a little cliche, but that's kind of the kind of music we make. Not to rag like car commercials as previously, but like a car commercial. Do you know what I mean?
So you see sort of more imagery based than club based.
Basically, but there's always that appreciation for that kind of club vibe and the sound of the drums and the moment. Just melding those things with like a traditional, you know, like twee pop is basically what we'd like to do, what we're trying to do. But, you know, ambient movie soundtracks, that sort of thing. Headphone music, totally. So
let's jump into another live song if you guys are ready. What do you want to try?
This is going to be, we're going to try, hopefully the computer doesn't crash, but Learning to Weld is a pretty cool one. So we'll do that for you.
All right, let me do a little repatching here real quick. Okay. All right.
This is a... give a big shout out to the homies who know what the song is about. So,
okay, well, I'll ask you about that when we're done with it. Then.
The homies are drinking coffee right now somewhere.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Northern Two. Whenever you're ready.
Thanks, John.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Northern Two. So let's talk about what your music is about. What are some themes that you tend to keep coming back to in your lyrics?
Oh, man. The themes in my lyrics. Pretty, I guess, personal, but more or less random thoughts that basically either are inside jokes, things that are just kind of like, well, let me just say I try to go out of my way to not be overly sappy and do too many like direct love songs. Like, I don't really think we have any love songs that I'm singing about, you know, my significant other, or I'm just like, you know, about, you know, boy and girl or anything like that. I try to stay away from that kind of stuff.
Do you think there's a tendency to do that? Like in electronic music, it's like almost like you're allowed to be a little bit more sensitive because you don't have that distortion guitar, you know, yeah, masking your manhood.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it is, because it's real obvious to just go directly to the, like, you know, oh, I love you, baby, you know, like that kind of stuff. And that's, I don't know, that's kind of played out. I'm sure I'll write a couple songs that say I love you, baby, like in the future. Uh-huh. So I want to give that disclaimer.
Girl, you know it's true.
Exactly. We're actually planning to cover that. Thanks for ruining it. So, but just randomness, just total randomness.
Do you like to write in sort of abstract terms, or do you prefer to write, you know, stories or about experiences?
Well, to be honest, I usually personally try to stay away from storyteller songs, because those, depending on who's singing them, there are certain people that I can take doing that, and certain people I just don't allow it in my head. I just don't like it. I kind of like to, I'm one of those people, I think Seth definitely is too. This is one of the things with playing shoegaze music and being influenced by, like, you know, My Bloody Valentine and that stuff. I almost don't want to know what the lyrics are 100% of the time. I'd kind of like to listen to the melody and make up my own shit. You know what I mean? For the music.
So the lyrics are really more of another instrument for you. The words as an instrument, as opposed to message telling.
A little of both. I'm hoping that every once in a while someone will listen to what I'm kind of, you know, whispering or whatever and say, okay, I picked up two words there. So now, based on the title and what he just said, I think I know what this song is about. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, they'll be completely wrong. And I love that kind of stuff.
So it's like New Order. Like, nobody knows what they ever sang
exactly
about.
New Order is a huge influence. So, I mean, totally, totally biting New Order to a certain degree. But isn't everybody.
I mean, they're notorious for their lyrics. I mean, I think they're notorious for their lyrics not making any sense whatsoever, except maybe to them.
So. Absolutely. But see, that doesn't stop you from hearing a couple lines and going, okay, that didn't make sense.
And you're still singing it with it.
But you're still singing it, but then you go, I think I know what he's talking about, but you have no idea.
Yeah, or you apply it to your life.
Exactly, exactly. So,
What about the writing process? I mean, do you guys collaborate on, you know, on the lyrics themselves? And, you know, do the songs go through many phases before they reach the stage at which you're like, all right, let's lay this one down?
We don't really collaborate on lyrics. Hopefully Seth doesn't wince at the stuff that I sing about, but most of the collaboration comes on the music side.
It's almost like the lyrics are like the secondary, like, yeah. It's the word you think of to help you remember the melody.
Come
basically.
On, come on.
So that's so when me and Andy, like, the best thing I can think of is a song, maybe not for someone else. Like, we bring in the music and then we'll just, you know, layer it and stuff, and then Andy will then, as like a last resort, okay, now we have to finally put the lyrics on.
Yeah, so that's it's usually like I have like a little text file on my computer that every once in a while, like when I'm at work or something and I think of something that I think is particularly clever for me, I kind of congratulate myself and go, okay, well, you know, you should actually write that down, because I pretty much suck. Begrudgingly do I write lyrics, and so whenever I get something I think makes sense, no matter what it is, I'll put it in like a list of lyrics that I have. And then when I have a song that needs something, I'll look at my lyrics, pick and choose a lot of times what I think goes with the feel of the song. And even if it doesn't, it's okay, as long as it strikes me as being something that'll work. And I'll just kind of, again, using the word meld, I'll just kind of like plug them in, meld them together with the song, and just kind of hopefully it works out. I mean, we can't really tell. We think it sounds okay, but it's all up to what other people think.
Like, do you have a lot of songs in the vault, sort of, that you just never figured out how to finish?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got this album, Cinema, which actually came out digitally in, like, April, so it's on iTunes. And then the CD is actually going to be done the last week of this month, so that will be available probably on ToneVendor.com. The next one we have is almost totally written. We just have to go through, tweak, finalize, and I have to do like a bunch of vocals. And then we've got like another album like coming from third base to home plate, telling the guy in front of me, yeah, move, move. It's just the way it works with the budgetary things, and we're trying to keep it DIY. So that's...
Well, that's the interesting thing about electronic music is you don't really make music without recording it. You know, with like a rock band, you can come up with 1,000 songs and then never record any of them and right. still go out and play live and everything. But right. for it to be worth the effort for you guys, you have to record as much as write.
I don't know, Seth. What do you think? Like sometimes Seth is a big-time trooper. Like I bitch and moan about everything, but Seth, you know, I have to sometimes ask because he takes it. He's a hard worker. But sometimes like the worst part of the process – and again, another strong word, worst, but is playing live, because it's just, it's nerve-wracking. Your computer could crash, your keyboard could stop working. Like in our last show, I had a whole song where I was going to totally improvise and my computer just took a dump and just, you mm-hmm. know, what's up? Like my keyboard wouldn't respond to me.
And you're stuck. It's like not having your guitar with
right.
you. Like.
But in the studio, you can record your stuff. You have total control over what you do, how it sounds. Well, to a certain degree, you know, we send it off for mastering, but we can kind of make it sound the way we want. Seth and I can sit back and listen to it and say, does that suck? Does it sound okay? Is it passable? Is it not, you know?
So would you say in terms of live performance, that really you're doing it for your audience, you're doing it to build a fan base,
yeah.
but left to your own devices, you probably wouldn't be doing it.
It would be much nicer if we were just somehow able to just, you know, get off on doing recordings only, but no one, not that anyone has at this point anyway, but like
the point is to provide your audience with access to the music
exactly,
that you've recorded
exactly.
and that's the way they're going to be exposed to it, isn't the live.
Plus Seth is like a good looking dude and I want everybody to see Seth because so. Seth's rocking the beard right now too.
Awesome.
So it's
let's listen to another track from the CD you brought it on, okay. on that note, and we'll think about Seth's beard while we do it. What do you recommend?
Let's just run right down. Let's do number 7. It's a song called Little, and it's more or less an instrumental, but it's kind of like, it's a song that's instrumental, but it's like it's a musical inside joke, I guess, or maybe musical inside idea, maybe not a joke. It's not deadly serious, but it's not really a joke. It's just like a little emotional piece that's just kind of means a lot, so.
And just remind us again where people can get Cinema, your last album?
Cinema is on iTunes. So just go to iTunes. Obviously, hopefully all you people out there have iTunes. And hopefully you downloaded this podcast. That's how you're listening to it or live. But just type in The Northern 2 or Cinema and just look for it. It's right on there. Real accessible. So
you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are The Northern 2. Stick around. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the Northern Two. I want to talk a little bit more about live performance versus recording. We were touching on this idea that it's sort of something you have to put together in order to present your music. But could you, on a lighter note, what's a good show for you guys? I mean, you guys have played out. You've been doing this act for about 2 years. You've had a couple of, several gigs. And, can you conjure up an image in your head of what a great show was and what made it a good show? Was it just being technically proficient, or was there a certain vibe to the room that made it a good show?
What do you think? Basically, a good show for us, like a successful show, would be if there's not too many glitches with equipment, which is...
That's like number one. Is
yeah, because that can really, like... We had a show in San Francisco where Seth played really well, but like my stuff was just not working too well.
And not cooperating?
It like ruined the weekend for me. Like, and it was sad because my wife was with me up there and everything, and we were kind of making it a weekend and stuff too, and it was just... I don't know. I take it pretty hard sometimes when you put all the work into something and then one little thing ruins you. And when you're on stage and there's people watching, it's kind of like they instantly become like your friends, because everybody just sees you at your most vulnerable moment where you're trying to make music using this like outlandish equipment that most rock bands aren't used to seeing on stage, and it fails. And it's kind of like... I know they might not be thinking that in the audience, but in your head you hear them going, see, I told you, it can't be done. Or
well, and you can't control it, but you feel responsible for it.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
It's my stuff. I mean, I'm the one that set it all up. Something I did is, it's not the Mac, man. The Mac's solid, baby. Solid. It's solid. Ableton Live, solid. So, yeah.
But aside from the things working technically, what makes for a good show for you? I mean, how do you sort of gauge whether or not your audience is getting what you're doing?
Looks on their faces, comments after the show. If just like a couple people after the show come up and just say, hey, it sounded good or whatever, or your vocals were a little low or whatever, it, at least, they're listening to a certain degree. And that's kind of cool, because that's all you want is for people to listen. So, I mean, we've played some really big shows, and we've played some really tiny shows. It doesn't really matter what, if it's big or small, just as long as, people are like digging it or whatever.
So you don't have a preference in terms of the venue, like a more intimate space versus a, a big crowd kind of thing?
What do you think, Seth?
Not really, actually.
Intimate spaces are kind of cool, just because you don't really feel that you need to fill up as much room with sound and everything, and you can kind of tone it down and just hear everything, and it's not blaring. You don't have to, blow anybody's crap out. You know what I'm saying? So, coffee shops are cool. Big concert halls are cool. Not that we've done too many of those, but like larger, venues that have shows that we've played are fun. But you always feel like you're in a cavern or something. Mm-hmm. So it's weird.
Do you guys have any live shows coming up in the near future?
What do we got? October?
Yeah, in October.
October 20th at the Bordello. It's a Fold show. That one's going to be with the Hectors, Divisadero.
10th, I think.
Actually. Is it the 10th?
According to your MySpace.
Maybe it is the 10th.
I just pulled it up there.
Maybe it is the 10th. And if it's not the 10th, it will be changed immediately as soon as I find out when we get back. But I'm pretty sure, it is 10-10. That's right. I remember 10-10 sticks out. So that's at the Bordello.
Which is it's a cool venue. A lot of people are playing
creepy.
There now.
Yeah, it's like a creepy venue. It's weird when you feel like you're at Disneyland or something, but it's really cool, and the people there are awesome. They're nice. So we're going to have a lot of great bands playing on that one.
That's kind of you're playing with Henry Clay people and Divisadero, and that's much more sort of indie rock folk bands. I mean, has that been a challenge for you as well, sort of finding... I mean, those are great bands, but finding bands that are sort of appropriate sound for you guys?
It's always a challenge, but that's what we kind of want to do, is get in there with those bands and play with those bands, because
you don't want to be pigeonholed as just an electronic night.
I don't want to end up being like sandwiched between two DJs at some hip hop radio function or something. Mm-hmm. I would rather go out and play shows. That's what we're used to. There's no reason why indie kids wouldn't be into this kind of music, and by people that might frown upon this kind of music being shoveled in there with like your pop and your indie stuff. It's kind of fun to like make people hear it. You know what I mean?
Right.
They might not expect you to be what you are the first time, but when you get up there and they're looking at you wondering where the bass player and the drummer are, it's kind of like, that's right. That's yeah. right. Well, here we go. You know what I mean? So,
you'll hear it and you'll like it.
You'll hear it and you'll like it. Or die.
All right, let's do another live song. Okay. What would you like to play for us?
Let me see. How much time we got here? We've got... we can probably do a couple more live songs. It's up to you, though, John. But we'd probably like to do a song, maybe not for someone else. So this is one that Seth pretty much penned and then I kind of ruined.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to this one. All right. My guests are The Northern Two. Check out myspace.com/TheNorthern2 and get you guys set up here on the board.
Awesome.
And all right. Good to go whenever you're ready.
Cool. Check two. Do this.
KillRadio.org. My guests are The Northern Two. How'd you guys come up with that name for your band?
The Northern Two is kind of Well, actually, when we first started, like, we weren't sure how many people were going to be in the group. So, but it
so was going to be like the Northern some.
Well, it was actually going to be the Northern two, no matter what. And it was actually would have been funnier if there were one or three or four or nine of us.
It was like Jurassic Five actually has six members.
Exactamundo. Yeah. It was kind of one of those sorts of things. But then when it came out to be just me and Seth, you know, it just kind of worked, and it's kind of something where it's like, but oh well, it's fine. We're the Northern two. At the place where I work, we have radio communication, like CB radios, and my call tag into our main distribution, like our not distribution, but dispatch office, mm-hmm. was Northern 2. So it was just something that I said about 19,000 times a day.
Oh, okay.
And at one point, I kind of referred to them tongue-in-cheek as the Northern 2 for some reason rather than dispatch. For whatever reason, don't remember the context, but it just, hey, that kind of sounds like a cool band name. Seth was like, well, no, but let's do it anyway.
So. Wow, he really is easy to work with.
He's a good dude.
So what do you think is the future for the Northern 2? I mean, I know you guys are already producing, you have an album out, you're already producing another album, you guys are playing live a lot. What is sort of the end game for you guys in terms of, like you mentioned, you'd like to see your music being placed in films and things like that. But sort of, how do you know when you've sort of made it as the Northern 2? Do you need the kind of notoriety that a band like Postal Service is getting, or you know, strong indie cult following in LA, local thing? What's going on in your heads?
What do you want, Seth? What do you want?
what do you really want?
I'm not too sure. I just really just kind of want to keep the music coming out there and stuff. I don't know. Maybe happening. You know, just stepping in somebody's car and see them. See on their iPod, maybe seeing the Northern 2 playing, that they had maybe just listened to that track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is like maybe just like the greatest feeling in the world. So
just knowing that your music is getting out there and that people are responding to it.
Yeah. I just want people to maybe not feel that coming out to a Northern 2 show when we play down here locally, you know, in LA and the Valley and stuff, that they're coming out to something where they need to get like, you know, dressed up and go clubbing and all that crap. Just come out. It doesn't matter where we're playing. If you're coming to see us, like you're coming to, like, we're just two dudes that are just going to play music for you, and we're going to do like the best we can. We're going to rock you. So it's not something that's going to be a major investment of your energy and your time. Just come out. You know, if there's a cover, sorry, but just, you know, that sucks, but just come out, listen to the music, and, you know, we'll be your best friends forever. We just want to have like a decent following. And if once we get that, people will listen to our music, they'll pirate it, do whatever they want. It's all good. And we just want to see friendly faces at our shows. And
that is kind of a challenge, the sort of misconception that because it's electronic based, it, I think in a lot of people's minds, it can't also be, you know, an indie band. Whatever indie band means these days, they don't associate it with, you know, they only associate it with rock. You know, if you tell them that you're synth or electronic, they assume that it's like a clubbing kind of event. But you guys want to transcend that stigma then.
We're like the Pet Shop Boys, but we're trying to come off as just like your average, like, you know, like Built to Spill, you know, circa 1997. You know what I mean? We're just a couple dudes that are making music. We're just playing for you. So it's nothing crazy. We try to play shows that are all ages, that everybody can come. Just feel free to relax, not have to be, you know, part of the whole clicky, quote-unquote, indie scene and be seen and the whole thing. We're just out there to just play our music for people. So don't be afraid. We don't bite.
Let's do another live song before we run out of time.
Okay. So this song will probably take us out. I don't know how you'd like to do it, if you want a closing word at the end.
Well, we'll do a live song, and then we'll remind everybody about where to get your music and where you're playing next, and then we'll sign off with another track in the CD.
Okay. Yeah. This one, if it's cool with you, it's called "I'm a Mermaid Who Throws Bombs Out of My Heart."
Fantastic.
And the title actually came from my daughter. She came up with that, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. So, I mean, give me a break. A mermaid that throws bombs out of its heart?
She's a genius.
She's a frickin' genius. So, if you don't mind, we kind of improv a little bit at the end. That's why I'm for time constraints.
Please.
Okay.
Please improv.
Yeah,
I want a Kill Radio exclusive.
Well, it's kind of nice to when you do an electronic song that you don't stick exactly to the live version.
Me when you're done, you're not going to take your keyboard and smash it.
I won't destroy anything except myself. And I promise I'll be sweating more than a human should.
Awesome. Whenever you guys are ready. My guests are the Northern 2. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
What's up, Seth? We good?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this.
I'm a mermaid that throws bombs out of my heart. I'm a mermaid that throws bombs out of my heart.
Thank you.
Holy hell in a handbasket. That was one of the most awesome live performances I have ever had on this show in the 2 years I've been doing this. Thanks. That was insane. That was live, ladies and gentlemen. That was a live electronic performance.
AKA live messing around.
Yeah, that was insane. That was great. And is that representative of something you guys would do at a live, at a show? It's kind of towards the end.
If there's time, go with it. We've got like usually about 3 or 4 jams that we can go off of songs, and depending on time constraints, we try to give people as many songs as possible. But if you know we have the time, we can jam like you know and do a lot of cool stuff. So
you know what I really like about what you guys are doing, because I think it's pretty rare, is you're not afraid of hardcore techno beats.
No,
it seems like Postal Service. You know, I think they write great songs, but they you know it's like they get really close and. And I think it's part of their shtick, because they sort of never let you have it. They never let you have the full beat effect.
I think it is part of their shtick. I think it works for them. I think it's
a cool
hook.
Yeah, and it sort of builds up that tension, you know.
Totally.
But as someone like myself who grew up listening to early 90s electronica, you know, Utah Saints and Orbital and Prodigy and
right.
like bands that would just let you have it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see an act, especially a modern synth-pop act, sort of combining those two elements of, you know, of pop songs with a good beat, without it having to be club music too. That's pretty fantastic.
You know, it's one of the things that I can think of is just like taking a club record or a DJ mix, something that's primarily geared towards like a dance mix, and then just chopping the crap out of it and putting it through like the you know emo kid blender or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just that's what we kind of like. It's just we've always been fans of Sonic Mayhem and you know the Sonic Youth and just like. Destroying, you know, stuff with sound and My Bloody Valentine, just, you know, like that whole trip. So we're trying to do a little bit of that with electronics and make that our hook, you know, that kind of follows the, you know, little pop songs that we do. So
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming in. Everybody go to iTunes and download Cinema, which is your release album. And that's going to be out on CD soon.
That'll be out on CD, I'm guessing, probably within the first 2 weeks of October, because we're getting it back from the manufacturing plant literally the last week of this month. So next week, actually. So that should be... that should be available to you guys on CD, tonevendor.com. We haven't even asked them yet, but we're assuming that Dan will totally put that out and make it available for everybody. He does all our stuff, like, historically.
And so you distribute all this in-house, then? You don't have a label or anything like that?
No, the label that we put it out on is our own label that we release music on, Ultra Comfy Pants. So,
nice.
Yeah, so it's walking around the house music.
MySpace.com/TheNorthern2, that's the place people should go to get the most up-to-date information.
Absolutely. Until we get our website back up, it was up a couple years ago when we started, took it down because I got tired of looking at it. So we have a guy who from Cal Poly, that's this guy Sean, and he does real good websites. He's gonna hook us up.
All right, and October 10th at Bordello.
Yes, sir.
So check it out, and let's leave everybody with another track from the CD. What do you recommend?
Let's do a sentimental one, Return to Goleta Drive-In. I think that's track 11.
All right.
Good Take You Out song.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is available for download. It'll be up in a few hours off of myspace.com/thisisgood, as well as podcast on iTunes. This is The Northern 2.